Hello, everyone. Thank you for letting me spend some time with you today. I do appreciate it. If you happen to be listening to the audio-only portion, you know, do us all a favor. Go over to either YouTube or Rumble or the Tor Network Tube and check us out on video. Give us a like, the share, all those kind of things, because it helps, you know, other people find us just like you did. So there we are. We're going to be talking about pets today. And basically, the reason we're talking about pets is I received a question from someone who said they know people who won't keep a pet either inside or outside the house for religious reasons. And their question is, are pets biblical? Okay, can you know, does God allow us to have pets? That's what they want to know. Now, the short answer is yes. Okay. And I'll get to those verses in a moment, but we need to look at some information to help us understand the relationship between mankind and the animal world. All right. When our Creator was working on his creation, he first created all of the animal kinds, not the species we see today. That, you know, the species we see today, they come about through the natural reproductive processes, through adaptation and that kind of thing. But what God created was the very top layer of the animals. Now today they're classified differently in science than they were when I was in school because they've changed the name from, you know, kind to domain. But today they're classified as domain, kingdom, phylum, class, order, suborder, animal families, genus, and species. So even though the species that we see today were in the parent who carried the DNA, the animals we know today are much different than they would have been 6,000 years ago. We no longer really have the parents. We have the children, you know, just like us. You know, our ancestors were different than slightly than we are today, even though that DNA is there. Now, after the creation of Adam, we read in Genesis 2, 19 and 20, out of the ground, the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every bird of the air, and he brought them to the man to see what he would name each one. Whatever the man called each living creature, that was its name. The man gave names to all the livestock, the birds of the air, the beasts of the field. But for Adam, no suitable helper was found. Now, Adam didn't name the species like the lions, the tigers, and the bears. Oh my, right? What he named were the kinds, like the cat kind that we get the lions and tigers from, right? He named the horse kind. He named the dog kind. He named the reptile kind. Simple, right? Easy. All of the different species we see today, that parent genome was there. And through reproduction, living in different areas, adaptation, what we see today are the species that we are familiar with. Now, at first, mankind lived beside the animals. The animals didn't fear man. Man didn't fear the animals. There was no need to fear T-Rex, as mighty and big as he was, right? Because T-Rex would have been vegetarian. But at first, so was mankind, right? After sin was allowed to enter the world, mankind became wicked. It really didn't affect the animal world, though, did it? Not a bit. It was man who became wicked. We read about the flood, and Noah, regardless of the movies, he didn't have to go track down every species that we see today to put on the ark. The animals that our Creator selected came to him, and these, again, would have been the parent kind. They all boarded the ark, and you know the story, the two by two, right? These would have been young animals, small breeding pairs, ready when they were ready to come off the ark, except for the clean animals, which were seven. Not going into those specifics right now. And while they were on the ark, everything was fine and dandy, right? Everything was great. It wasn't until after they came off of the ark, the waters receded, they came off the ark, that's when things changed. Now, what changed? Genesis 9, 2, and 3. The fear and dread of you will fall on every living creature on the earth. Every bird of the air, every creature that crawls on the ground, all the fish of the sea, they are delivered into your hand. Everything that lives and moves will be food for you, just as I gave you the green plants, I now give you all things. I need to pause and say something here. A lot of people use this to justify eating whatever they want to eat. A lot of people believe that Genesis was not the actual first book of Moses. They believe it was written sometime between Leviticus and Deuteronomy, basically as a history to get them to Exodus, where they think Moses actually began his writing, because he was there. He was writing what he was familiar with. That Susie thinks there is something that shouldn't be outside. Talking about pets, there's a reason to keep one. They let us know when something's here that shouldn't be here. Where was I? There would have been no need for Moses to restate what he had written already in Leviticus. You know, he gives us the regulations for what to eat and what not to eat. It's already established in Leviticus. Enough of that. Man was given meat to eat. So were the animals. You know, before the flood, mosquitoes didn't need to bite man. They didn't need blood of man or animal to reproduce. That happened post-flood. Okay? And if I just bumped my microphone, I apologize. Getting bad about that. But mankind would still retain dominion over the animals. So, but that friendship that used to be there was no longer there. Okay? So some animals were used for food, others were used for work, some were used for both. Like an ox, right? I'm going to go in chronological order through these verses, basically because it's easier for me. Job lived around the time of Abraham, and this is where we read in Job 41:5, can you pet him like a bird or put him on a leash for your young girls? Now, God is speaking about the Leviathan here, and it's a rhetorical question. But in this question, there is a clue that people, even around the time of Abraham, were indeed keeping animals as basically companions for pleasure, right? Why else would you need to pet a bird? Why else would you need to constrain an animal? Simple, right? So yeah, pets are allowed. Later in 2 Samuel 12:3. The poor man had nothing except one small ewe lamb that he had bought. He raised it and grew up, and it grew up with his children. It shared his food, drank from his cup, it slept in his arms, and was as a daughter to him. Now, it didn't replace a daughter, naturally, but it was a companion for the family. Again, pets are okay. Now, much, much later, Matthew 15:27. Yes, Lord, she said, even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table. Now, the image of dogs eating crumbs under the table would imply that dogs were allowed inside the home. So pets are not forbidden in the Bible. You know, even the Passover lamb was brought into the house for 3 days before it was sacrificed. But that is for a different reason I'm not going to get into now. But there's another question that really needs to be addressed. And it's, if it offends you, understand why you're offended, okay? Do your pets love you? Do your pets love you? Think about that for a moment. some people are going to say, oh, yes. Oh, my little fur baby loves me. It's such a great pleasure when, oh, they come and they sit in my arms and they do this and they do. Think about this. They don't love you like you might think they do. It's a little different. And you need to really understand this. And to use this example, I'm going to look at dogs and cats as this example. Dogs are pack animals, okay? They live in social groups. They're loyal to the pack. You know, when you have a pet dog, they consider you part of their pack. Their loyalty to that pack is their instinct. And that's why people who understand this, they're able to train their dogs much more effectively and efficiently than the people who would consider their dog just a family member. Now, oh, it's my fur baby. You see, the people who understand that it's an instinct that's given to them, much like our Creator gives us our skills and talents to serve each other, He puts that into the animal that we bring into the home. And when we understand what that is and how it works, we are able to better train our dogs. We're able to better understand their needs, their desires. We form that pack hierarchy. You know, the master becomes the alpha. Now, there are some days when Susie looks at me and says, I'm yours today, right? There are some days when Susie looks at Myra and she's hers. It just kind of depends. Not sure what her difference is yet, but she'll pick me one day, she'll pick Myra a different day. It just depends. Cats, on the other hand, some do live in social groups, but they are far more solitary and therefore they are far less loyal, right? Some people consider cats more independent. Well, that's because of their instinct. They don't have that need, that desire to be part of a pack all the time, like dogs do. Horses have their instincts. They are inquisitive. They want to figure things out. You know, but they're still very large animals, and they still have the capability of hurting you if you don't pay attention to what you're doing and treat them like horses and not like a brother. Okay. What I'm going to say next might sound gross to some people. Okay. I'm just going to say that right now. I read an article a few years ago about a lady who allowed her pet snake to sleep with her. Now, the snake grew. She had it for years. The snake grew up, got very, very large, as constrictor-type snakes do. And all of a sudden, it just stopped eating, and she thought something was wrong with it. She took it to the vet. The vet examined the snake, couldn't find anything wrong. And as he's going through the examination and he's trying to figure this out, he asked her, has the snake become more affectionate lately? And she thought about it, and she says, oh, yes, he just really loves me. Well, it wasn't love. It was the snake's instinct kicking in, okay? The snake had stopped eating because it needed the room. It needed to empty itself completely so it had room to consume the lady. The snake was sizing her up. It was literally getting ready to eat the hand that had been feeding it. Okay. So while pets are allowed in the Bible, we need to keep in mind that they're not human. They're still animals. They have their instinct. You know, they're different. And when we try to make them equal, to try to make them human, it's not going to work. They're still going to remain animals. If you have a pet, enjoy it for what it is. It's a companion. It's a friend. It might be a service animal. It might be a helper. I worked, you know, with large animals for years. We always had herd dogs to help us herd cattle and sheep and that kind of thing. They're great. Pets are wonderful, but they're still pets. They're not your children, even though a lot of people treat them like that. Some people I know spend a lot more money on their pets than they ever did their own kids. Think about that. Think about that. You know, our Creator gives mankind the skills and the talent to serve each other, doing what we do best. He does the same thing with the animals. He gives them their instincts and says, serve. And they do it very, very, very well. The better you understand the difference between the animal world and mankind, the more likely you are going to get along better with your pet. Seriously. So, are pets biblical? Yeah, they are. Do we need to remember they're still animals? Yes, we do. And we can get along with them very well. Very, very, very well, actually. Now, I didn't go over pets in my books, but the books are available at authorjerrymitchell.com. So you can utilize that if you want to. There we go. Something to think about. Something to think about. So next time, you know, whether it's your dog, your cat, canary, think about them. They have a way to help you. They have a way to serve you. They have their place just like we do. They're not human. They're important. They're a very important part of creation. But no, they're not human. Something to think about until next time. So until next time, I do wish you many, many blessings, everyone.